The parable we are given in today's gospel gives us, or presents to us, an image of great hope, but also a stern warning. It is the parable of the fig tree, and Christ gives us this image of an owner of a fig tree that comes to collect its fruit, but it has none, and it hasn't borne fruit for 3 years. And so the gardener, or the owner, tells the gardener to cut the tree down, discard it, get rid of it. But the gardener asks the owner to give him one more year. Give the tree one more chance. Give it a little bit more time. Let him cultivate it for one more year. And if it still does not bear fruit, he will cut it down. And we can understand this image of the fig tree to be a representation of each and every one of us. And we should all be very thankful that God has given us a precious gift, the gift of time. We should be very thankful to God that he has allowed us to exist in time. Because if we did not have time, we would not have a chance to change, which means that we would be judged by God as we are now. And I don't think everyone would want to go before God as we are now. And so it's very clear that God is all about giving us an opportunity, giving us the chance, giving us the time to work on our problems, to change, to turn our lives around, to detach from sin and vice. And on top of this, he is willing to help us through this, to be by our side, being that gardener that cultivates the fig tree. But this is a limited time offer. This is not open-ended. If we do not take the time that God has given us to turn our lives around, then God will grant us what we deserve, which is hell. You know, the very interesting thing about this parable is that the fig tree is very much alive. It's not a dead tree. It's just not bearing fruit. But the owner of the fig tree is still going to cut it down because it's not actively growing. It's not doing what's supposed to be doing in the here and now, which means for us that if we are not actively growing, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing right here and now, working on our issues, working on our problems, then we might as well be dead. It's not about living. It's about living well. And there is a very popular mindset out there of just coasting through life. Yeah, you know, I know I have these problems, I have these issues, these struggles here, but I'm not going to put 100% in working on them. I'm fine with just coexisting with them in life. I'm going to go through life with these problems. That is this fig tree that is alive, but it's not actually growing. It's not bearing fruit, and it's not taking the time that it has been given to bear fruit. If we are not going to continuously and actively work on ourselves, to work on our issues in our life, to turn ourselves around, detaching from sin, detaching from vice, putting the work into that, then we might as well be dead because we are not taking the time that God has given us to bear fruit. And God will cut us down. And this intentional living out of our lives and this continuous working on ourselves is so important to the church that every single year it sets aside a period of time to work more intensely on ourselves in order to remind us that we're supposed to be doing this continuously. And this is the season of Lent, a time of training, a time of building virtue, a time of really addressing our issues, which then are supposed to carry on to the rest of the year. It doesn't end at Easter. The fruits that you acquire from your disciplines in Lent isn't supposed to end with Lent. Lent is like the preseason for an athlete. The training and work that the athlete does, the new skills that he acquires, is supposed to carry on and help you be better in when the actual season starts. Lent is that time to work on specific things that then carry on to help us be better persons, to live better, to become more like Christ. And one thing that I would encourage all of you to do this Lent, among your other Lenten practices, is to take the time to identify and to work on what is called your predominant fault. Now, what is the predominant fault? If you ask someone, well, what's your predominant fault? They might say, well, you know, I struggle with pride, or I struggle with laziness, or I struggle with gluttony or lust. This is not your predominant fault. This is called predominant sin. And this obviously needs to be eradicated from your life. But the predominant fault is not a sin in itself. It is a tendency to use your good natural qualities wrongly. The predominant fault attaches itself to your greatest qualities, your greatest strengths, which then becomes your greatest weaknesses, because it is the constant temptation and struggle to use those good qualities sinfully. The predominant fault is always lurking. It is always pulling at us to use our good qualities to excess. So, for example, there are some people who naturally are just very kind, very compassionate, very nurturing, all very good qualities. But because of this, they also find it difficult to say no to people. They can easily become doormats, not standing up for what is right out of fear of offending someone. This is their predominant fault. Their most exemplar quality becomes the occasion of their greatest fault. Another example, there are some people who have a very strong character, who are very, you know, they have no problem with conflict, standing firm in the face of opposition, especially when it has to do with what is right and what is true. Once again, very good and important qualities. But this becomes their predominant fault, because these same people find it very difficult to let small things go that really are not that important in order to preserve the peace. And on top of this, they act like battering rams to other people, because they have created in their own minds what they have determined to be what is just and deserved. And this is how they're going to treat people. And so they come off very rough. Some people are not very bothered by things. They let things go very easily. They're very forgiving. They're very laid back, very thick skin. They can let things go. Very good qualities, once again. They can just go with the flow of life. Let things come and let things go. But these same people find it difficult to actually put the effort into caring about things that they should be caring about and are important. They can find it difficult to be angry about things when they need to be angry. They can find it difficult to correct things and to be confrontational when it is called for. Some people are very fun-loving, very light. They're always positive, always looking for the best in a situation, in their circumstances. They like to make people laugh, and they like to have a good time. They are enjoyable people to be around until they need to be serious, or their circumstances and their situation does not allow for fun and games, but actually embracing the sacrifice of the cross, which then they find it difficult to function. The predominant fault always attaches itself to our greatest natural qualities because it's that continuous tendency that always seeks to corrupt them. And we will never be rid of our predominant fault. It will be with us our entire life, because wherever we have strengths, there will be that temptation to use them incorrectly for our own satisfaction. But through discipline and the developing of certain virtues, you can make sure that the predominant fault never controls you, but you are always in control of it. The predominant fault is at the foundation of the moral and the spiritual life. And this is why one of the first things that should always be done if someone comes to a priest for spiritual direction is to help them identify and combat that predominant fault. But in order to do this, there are two very essential things. The first is self-knowledge, the ability to honestly look at oneself. And this is difficult for many people. Many people lack self-knowledge. They are oblivious to the truth about themselves because they've convinced themselves that they are something that they are not. For example, it's like those people that think that they can sing, but they really can't. Right? Everyone else knows they can't, but they think they can. And we all know someone like this. Unless we are that person, and then we're oblivious to the truth. And this is always very quite evident on karaoke night, right? Because these people are always coming out to sing. Karaoke is like the self-knowledge detector, because it's always drawing these people out to sing. True self-knowledge is at the heart of change, because you cannot change what you do not know. And this can be very difficult when it comes to the predominant fault, because it hides behind our strengths. So it's very easy to dismiss it as not really a problem, because we hate to see our strengths turn into possible weaknesses. And then the second very essential thing to combat the predominant fault is the humility to admit that it needs to change. To be able to say, yeah, I went too far. That isn't good. Because there's a difference between recognizing I have a problem and the humility to say that problem needs to stop. We can have sometimes a fear of admitting our faults, either because if we admit we have a fault, then we have to put the effort into changing it and we don't want to do that. Or two, we've made our self-worth revolve around our good qualities. And so we see ourselves as a lesser person if we have faults. Instead of making the reality of the fact that we are a child of God and that we will not be less important to Him if we have faults, making that at the center of our self-worth. So I would encourage you this Lent, whatever time we have left, to take a look inward, to seek out that predominant fault and to combat it and to continue this and carry this out after Lent as a permanent goal. It is never too late to start working on yourself, to start that active change in your life. You're never too old to build virtue. Let us take the opportunity, the time that God has given us here and now, to work on ourselves, to take action, so that we might not become that fig tree that would not bear fruit and God will cut down.